I want to realize by way of introduction the Tosfos we read at the end of Shir yesterday, and we'll discuss a little more about it. Thank you. I've done it. Okay, good. The Tosfos, I want to do the next Tosfos as well. There's a common denominator here between the discussion, the sugya, and the Tosfos that we read and we will read. The common denominator is not just that it's a hard Tosfos and it's a hard sugya, probably harder than Kamei Rav Mineh in certain respects. These are very subtle in Yanin, the relationship between Bechira Chafshis and Ashkacha Pratis, the interplay. So whatever we do, it's more just scratching the surface. Sometimes it's easier not to get too much into it, because it really gets you very confused, and it's not simple at all to get a full handle of it. So we'll try at least to broaden the discussion somewhat. Yesterday we just read the Tosfos. Okay, we touched the words. Let's try to just frame it a little bit more, and then from there we'll go to the next Tosfos, and we'll see all this will tie into the parsha as well for the latter part of this year. So it just works out that way. The comment, the Gemara quotes, Hakol b'dei shamayim chutz mitzinim pachim. So the Gemara quotes that in order to emphasize that tzinim pachim is considered b'dei adam, unlike what was originally thought in the Gemara. And then the Gemara quotes another statement regarding din dalad misus lo batlu, that indicates that what the Gemara says, Arye v'ganvi, is in fact b'dei shamayim. And that's because Hashem sees to it that a person will get what they deserve, even if there isn't the opportunity to have the formal Mises Beis Din carried out, but there will be the substitute, if you will, in the form of Din Dalad Mises. And each Misa has its equivalent in terms of the way Hashem orchestrates things. So therefore, that's the way Gemara ends up, that Sin Mupachim is Bidei Adam. Person gets sick because of the Sin Mupachim being the cause. It's really in some way their own, it's up to them. They can avoid it, and they can be the cause. And on the other hand, other things are bidei shamayim. And regarding the other inyan, in terms of din dalad misus, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sets things up so that what person befalls a person could very well be a fulfillment of the din of dalad misus, even if you can't carry it out in the formal sense with Beis Din. Now, Tosfos brings up an important issue. And this has to do with the fact that the Gemara says that a person shouldn't put himself in harm's way. So apparently, a person puts himself in harm's way, they are responsible, they're pusheya, and the consequences are in their head. So that seems to go against the statement, v'kol bidei shamayim. In other words, chutz mitzimum sinim pachim. That's the exception. Everything else bidei shamayim. So apparently, in the way the Tosfos was thinking in the question, the Hakol b'dei shamayim means that there is no human input. It's Hakol b'hashgach. Tzinim pachim has human input, right? It's bidei adam, meaning to say that there could be cases of tzinim pachim that are b'gzeira from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It could also be a result of a person's negligence. A person wasn't careful, and they became subjected to the elements, and they get sick, and that's their fault. So it could be based on that. It doesn't mean it couldn't be bidei shamayim. A person, with the best precautions in the world, the Kadosh Baruch Hu wants a person to get sick, so therefore he sets up tzinim pachim, and he gets sick. So therefore, that's what Tosfos would apparently understood in the question. So what's the contrast to tzinim pachim? Hakol b'dei shamayim. That means that there really is it's no way attributed to the person. It's hakol b'dei shamayim. And that seems to go against what the Gemara says. The person should not harm themselves. The person should not cause harm to befall them by putting himself in makom sakon. Tosfos brings another case, kir natui. There it's actually mentioned that if a person goes under a wall that's about to collapse, it's maskir avonosav shel adam. That's what the Gemara actually says. It doesn't say, like in the other case, it says, shem olo yasig ones. And if they do, they'll take away from your zchuyos. That's the Gemara that Tosfos initially quotes in Shabbos Gamed Beis. The other Gemara, it's a different Gemara. It has to do with certain things that a maskev onosef shaladim. But for some reason, Tosus sees that as also indicating the same idea that you are at fault. Okay, Tosus saw that in that Gemara too. So what does Tosus answer? Tosus answer is that a person could, in fact, protect himself from harm that comes about through their own self-inflicted pshia. If they themselves are poshea, of course, they're at fault. No one said otherwise. That doesn't contradict hakol bidei shamayim. It is possible for a person to bring about a negative consequence because they were negligent. No question about it. The harayah, says Tosus. So Tosus takes the fact that a person could harm himself and kill himself as indicative of the fact that that's their own doing. However, Tosus says, what makes therefore Hakobi de Shemaim the contrast to Tzinim Upachim? So it's a different distinction. What is it? That it could also be that Hakol, that there are things that happen to a person that with all the best precautions in the world, it's going to happen no matter what. In other words, there's no safety net. There's no slightest pshia on the person's part. It was mamish bidei shamayim. That could be. It could also be that there was a human factor that contributed, but it could also be that there was not the slightest element of pshia, that the person was the goreim in the slightest way. And that's what Tzinim Upachim differs from that. Tzinim Upachim could never happen to a person if they took the precautions to the nth degree. There has to be some element of pshia on the person's part for there to be the result of Tzinim Upachim. That's why we call that Bidei Adam. That seems to be Tosus' answer. Okay, so according to Tosus, what's the Kobi De Shemaim? Sometimes Aide Pshia, but sometimes totally ba'onas gamur, but that's hakol bidei shamayim. Chutz mitzinim upachim means that it's always going to have some. Chutz mitzinim upachim, there had to be some element that you were goreim. There was something about the person himself that brought about the illness that came about because he didn't take the ultimate precaution that he could have taken. Had he done that, and Tosus goes on to say that that's always possible. You could find a house that's, you could put on extra layer of clothing and you could shield yourself from the cold. You could shield yourself from the heat by going into a basement, right? The only thing is, you could find yourself in the middle of the road and there is no air conditioning and there's no basement. So then what? Then a person could get sick from the heat. And that's why Antoninus appreciated the bracha of Rebbe, that Hashem should spare you from heat, because Antoninus was someone who would be outdoors doing his fighting, and in that case, there wasn't the opportunity to take that initiative. So there was, in some sense, a pshia of sorts, but basically a person in theory could shield himself from the effects of Tzinim Upachim. Yeah, that's basically the Tosus. Tosus ends by saying maybe you could distinguish between the Mupachim. Tosus says it's not true. From the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, the Gemara quotes the Gemara connection to Dagim Shabayam and people being compared to that in terms of heat. So you see that Tzinim Upachim means cold and heat. The last part of the Tosus, Hakol B'Dei Shemayim Chutz M'Yiras Shemayim, that's a different matter. That's not about Ma'ora'os Haba'os Al Ha'adam. In other words, Hakol B'Dei Shemayim Chutz Tzinim Upachim is about a person's life experiences. What happens to them in life? Is it b'hashgacha pratis? Is it in some way through their own doing? That's the discussion of Hakol B'Dei Shemayim. Hakol B'Dei Shemayim for Tosus means it could be you're the goreim, it could be HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought about you, even though you're no way the goreim. Tzinim Upachim, there had to be some element that you were the goreim. Right? However, the other Gemara is discussing a fetus, what is its tafkid in the world, what's it going to look like, is it going to be strong, weak, muscle tone, right? Tipesh El Chacham, what's the IQ going to be? The DNA. That is determined. Tzadik V'Rasha is Bechira. That's a definition. Now, there are a number of very striking diyukim in Tosus. I guess we'll work backwards, just in the last point of Tosus. Rabbi Chanan asks in Kovetz Shirim. Doesn't answer it, I don't think. Tosus says, what's Nigzar? Ani Asher Gibor Chalosh Tipesh El Chacham, as opposed to Tzadik V'Rasha. And that's different than our comment of Hakobide Shemaim, meaning Ma'oros Habos Al Adam, a person's experiences in life. Okay, I understand how Tipesh Chacham Gibor Chalosh is distinct from Ma'oros Habos Al Adam. That's your IQ, your muscles, your body composition. Okay, that's different than Ma'oros Habos Al Adam. But Tosa starts by saying Ani Yawashi. No, Ani Yawashir is not Morosa Bosalad. Okay, so it could be, I'm thinking sort of what you're saying. Yeah. In other words, you're born into wealth. Okay, but in terms of how much money you're going to make when you're out there working, that's already goes into a Kobe Deshamachut Vesina Mopachim. But where you start, what you start off with, the deck that's there for you when a person comes into the world. No. Wait. I don't know. Is that what it means?
We're down for a parnasa. We never down for us to become a tzaddik v'rasha. So you clearly see there's a lot of bidei shemayim.
No. Tzaddik v'rasha, but tzaddik v'rasha, tosis means to say that it's not nigzar when the baby is being born that it's going to be tzaddik v'rasha. And what is nigzar? That's, what is a person's raw potential? What do they have to work with? So there'll be people who are born, they're naturally more gifted intellectually than others. There are people who are born with more physical prowess, physical talents, more athletic. That's the discussion in the Gemara in Nida and other places. But Tosfos is Ani Awashir. So why is that distinct from Ma'oros? That's the point. Why is that different than Ma'oros Habos HaLa'adam? That sounds like it also has to do with the person's life experience. What's going to happen? Are they going to make more money or less money? Go ahead.
I think it's important to remember that when Tosfos was writing, there was no such thing as social mobility. So, basically, what you were born with is what you had.
Really? Okay. Really? In other words, that was it. It was like a caste system. In other words, where they were, that's where they were.
Especially in Christian Europe.
Okay, interesting.
Even now, it's very hard to change.
I don't know. I hear what you're saying. I mean, but the thing is, Tosus answer still has to speak to us too. So, I mean, but I hear what you're saying. You know, and even within us, I think you could take what Avram was saying. There is a certain sense of things that the aspect. Let's put it this way: the aspect of tzaddik asher ani, which has to do with born into. That would be the application of Tosus Teres. But you mean for Tosus, you didn't have to spell anything out more because for him it really had to do with you were locked in.
Right.
Interesting. Okay. I hear. Yeah.
A lot that comes into being on your usher isn't just, product of how much money you make per year. You can get an unbelievable job and making hundreds of thousands of dollars, but if you have hundreds of thousands of dollars of expenses, right, that things that just randomly happen to do now and again, you're not going to end up with any money. Right? So when they say it's a product of Bidei Shemayim, it means that maybe you could say that. Things that happen to you that cost you money that you shouldn't have, any medical bills, you shouldn't have your car breaking down every week, whatever it is, that this, it costs money. So.
Fine, I hear. Avi, yeah.
Is this just a question on Tosfos? I mean, doesn't the Gemara Nida say all these categories, so it's a question on Gemara?
You're quite right, but see, you have to know how to reconcile the two Gemaras. So Tosfos chooses to reconcile it in a certain way by saying that The aspects that are mentioned in the Gemara, you're quite right. It's not Tosus that mentions Ani Asher. I believe it is a Gemara. But Tosus explains that those aspects are distinct from what we have in this Gemara, which is Ma'oros Habos Al Adam. And that's what we're trying to understand. I think Kosh Shumi asked Akasha, why is this not Ma'oros Habos Al Adam? If not Tosus, you have to figure out another answer to reconcile the two Gemaras. I don't know what you'll say. But for Tosus, I have a problem, because Tosus is saying this is not the same thing as Ma'os Habos Al Adam. It has to do with the framework in terms of what you're born into, and I think that's probably what you guys are saying. In other words, Ani Asher, in many ways, if not everything, is what you're dealt with, what is it you're dealing with, and what kind of world are you coming into, and that's distinct from Ma'oros Abos HaLo'adam. Yeah.
And I'm just reminded of, there's a Gemara in the beginning of Pinus that talks about Gimel Matayechos.
Yeah.
So it says there that in Eretz Yisrael there was a fourth Matayechos, Parnasa. So maybe that has something to do with this.
So Parnasa is not the same thing as Ani Elashir. Parnasa means that you'll get by, that you put food on the table. Ani Elashir is, question is whether you have, you know, five courses at your dinner table, or, you know, or one, you know. In other words, how much Parnasa Hashem will provide Parnasa. Okay, let's work backwards in Tosfos. There's other issues, to, just in terms of Diyukin. Lamashal, here's a question I think some ask. Tosfos says, again, the pshat of Tosfos is tzinin pachim, means that it will never come on a person ba'onis gamur. There had to be some element where the person, you could say, did not take the full precautions, full extent of precautions that he could have taken. Because if a person did all that would be within their power to do, then, of course, it would not happen that could get sick from tzinin pachim. Whereas some other type of onus could happen, even if the person literally did all they could to protect himself. So Tosfos asks the question on this from the story in the Medrash that Antoninus was not impressed with the bracha from Tzina. He says, I can do that, take care of that myself. I just add a sweater, add a layer of clothing. So then he said, Rebbe said, okay, I bless you that you should be spared heat. He says, that was a bracha. So Tosa's question was, what do you mean? Same reason. Wasn't a bracha to tell him, spare me from cold. It's not a bracha to spare me from heat, because I could take care of that myself. I don't need a Kodesh bracha to give me a bracha for that. And the answer is, no, because the reason why you could spare yourself from the effects of heat is by being at home. And you go to the lowest part of the house, to the basement. But Antoninus was not in a situation where you could do that. He was on the road, right? No. The context of this entire Gemara is the story of Yaakov and Binyamin. Yaakov was warning, Pen Yikra'enu Ason. Right? And Yaakov had what Ason in mind? An Ason Bidei Shamayim, the Gemara comes out, right? At least certainly also Ason Bidei Shamayim. And what's Ason and Ason Bidei Adam, both, right? Initially, the Gemara thought Tzinim Upachim is Bidei Shamayim. And then Gemara switches it. No, but the Ason was an Ason that was going to happen to Binyamin where? On the road. So what's the Gemara asking? That Tzinim Upachim is Bidei Shamayim, it's Bidei Adam. Tzinim is Bidei Adam. In what sense is Pachim Bidei Adam? Because a person can take precautions. But on the road, they can't take precautions. So in that respect, Pachim is Bidei Shamayim. If you're in a situation on the road and you don't have the, you know, the house to go into with the basement in the middle of no man's land, then you really need, you totally depend on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So in that respect, Pachim at least, in the context of Yaakov Avinu and his warning to the brothers that not to take Binyam, Pen Yikra'enu Ason, it really comes down to a case of Pachim that in that context is Bidei Shamayim. That's the a diuk that Achronim ask. Hear it. I mean, it's interesting. No, what could you say? It's a simple answer. Yeah?
Not an answer, but I just have a question. Like, if you're on the road and it's really cold out, there's not much you can do.
Not really cold, really hot, I'm saying.
Right, I'm saying.
Oh, if it was cold, what could you do?
It was cold also.
Let's see, can you open your suitcase and take out your sweater and put on the sweater? I mean, who says you have a sweater? So you can take the sweater with you. But you can't take the basement with you. You know, you can't take the portable air conditioner with you. You know, the fan, right? You can't that you can't do. No, the point is, you come prepared. Yeah. So that's the diuk. So in a case of Yaakov and Binyamin, it's not exactly, you know, a situation of Pachim being Bidei Adam, because given the context of being on the road, you're not going to have the Bidei Adam solution that you could fall back on. No, the easy answer is, okay, but the kasha would still be a kasha from which case?
Over here.
From Tzinim. From the other case, from Tzinim. Tzinim Upachim. So Tzinim is going to be Bidei Adam. Okay. Let's go back again. Let's go now further back in Tosus. Tosus says, of course, Hakol Bidei Shamayim doesn't mean that a person can't harm themselves. In that respect, you could have all kinds of things happening to a person that the person is responsible for. It's not, quote-unquote, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did it directly, the Gzeira, but a person did it to himself. The proof being that they can harm themselves. So here, and what's the difference between Sinu Mepachim? Sinu Mepachim could never happen by Onis Gamur. So here Rabbi Chanan Nekobitz, in the Kobitz Mamorim, yes, in the back of his Mamorim Yivamis, it's Kobitz Ha'aris, it's called Kobitz Mamorim, it's in the back of Kobitz Ha'aris, they have it maybe printed separately. He has Inyanim Avadera Agoda, so he has a Simen Zayin, he has a piece, Os Dalet, on this Tosis. It's a couple of Ha'aris. So first of all, he asks, Masha Kasav, Devada Yvyada Lohamis Atzmo. So what does Tosis see in the fact that a person can harm himself? That is really Bidei Adam. That's not the Gzeira of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, Lui Devrayim, I would say, there's no difference between a person harming themselves or harming someone else. And here he's making an assumption, which may be correct, but we'll have to look at it in a minute. If a person harms somebody else, so the victim, clearly that result that happened to that person, let's say a ritzeach, kill someone else. The nirtzach, the one that was murdered, was obviously bidei shamayim, he should be murdered. It doesn't absolve the ritzeach for what he did. The Ramban says this before Shem Lechacha. That means that the Mitzrim are going to be punished for what they did, even though Kai Yisrael had to be enslaved. Although you have to know, there was a direct Gezeira, and Ramban adds a point there that they went over the top. But the Maisa, if somebody, Min HaShemayim, not a special Gezeira, just Min HaShemayim, it was Nigzar, not there was a Navi or a Nevuah. Min HaShemayim was Nigzar, someone should never be killed. The Rotzeach is still liable and accountable for what he did. But the fact that the Rotzeach did that doesn't take away the fact that the person who was killed, murdered, was Min HaShemayim, it was meant to happen. Says Rav Chanan, so why don't you say the same thing if a person, Rachmana Litzlan, commits suicide? So it was Nigzat that the person who took his own life, that he would die. But he still has to pay a price in Olam HaEmes for having done that, which is an Aveira in our Parsha, as we'll see later. In our past, a person can't take their own life. So Tosis assumes, because biyado lahamis atzmo, it must mean, therefore, that when we say hakol bidei shamayim, it doesn't mean purely bidei shamayim. There are certainly instances where hakol is not bidei shamayim. There are things where it was because you did it to yourself. But there could be other cases where it's ba'onis gamur. So he says, gulei de betosis, I would say that in a chinami, a person takes their own life, it was nigzah that the person should die, and it also doesn't take away the accountability that the person has to pay a price. And he says, who had did? He says, just like if in biyachol to harag acherim, and lo nigzah alei misa, and yet rasa hu saharag, so here too, if he killed himself, it's as if he killed somebody else, and he has to pay a price as well. And that's why a person can't put himself in the makam sakana. Just like you can't put someone else in a makam sakana. In other words, there's really no difference between putting someone else in harm's way or putting yourself in harm's way. And if you do and you suffer the consequences, it was min hashamayim that you suffered the consequences, just like if you were saying the other person suffered the consequences. But the accountability is a separate cheshbon. Now, seemingly, this could be an answer for Rashi, because l'mashal, Rashi didn't learn like Tosus. How did Rashi learn? Hakol b'dei shamayim chutz misinim pachim. Says Rashi, tzinim pachim pa'omim bo'em b'pshia. Sometimes can come through pshia, which means, and other times could be through gzeiras melech, and not through pshia. So what's the contrast? Hakol b'dei shamayim never comes through pshia. It's always nigzar. It's always HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hashgach. What do you mean? Tosis points out the Gemara in Shabbos Lamed Beis, you can't put yourself in Makom Sakana. You could harm yourself. How could Rashi seem to imply that Hakol B'Gzeiras Melech? What happened to Tosus Kashis? So Rav Chanan's Ha'ara on Tosus becomes an answer for Rashi. The answer is, of course a person could do what they want. Bechira chafshis is there, and you pay a price, and it's accountability. But accountability doesn't take away the fact that there's still a gzeira of whatever the consequences of a person's actions are in this world was nigzar from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's two separate parallel tracks here. There's the accountability for the act, and there's the consequence of the act, whether that was nigzar or not. So the two things could both coexist. The consequences that of one's actions in this world were nigzar, but if you chose to do it, you still have to pay a price, and that's essentially the Ramban that the Rav Chana quotes. That's certainly, it's certainly true. And the perfect example is the Mishnah Pirkei Avos, Hillel, right? Hillel saw the skull, it's also in Sukkah. Hillel saw the skull that was floating on the water, right? And what did Hillel say? Al da'ateft, atfuch, besof mitayfayich yitufun. What does it mean?
You
drowned someone else, so they drowned you, and those who drowned you are going to have to be drowned as well. We'll see later how that stems with din da'al misus lobatlu, right? Ritzicha shouldn't lead to drowning. Ritzicha should lead to hereg. Okay. But meanwhile, what do you see here? That the fact is that if the person was drowned, it was nigzar as such, because it was coming to him. But that doesn't absolve the person who went ahead and carried it out. Megagin chova idechayev. So it's not a steer. So the Chana says, I don't get Tosis. What is Tosis proving from the fact that yachal omisatzmo, that therefore that's considered bidei ada? No. It's bidei shemayim, but you still have to pay a price. And therefore, you have an iser to go under the collapse wall that's about to collapse, or when makam sakana. So that's another very important ha'ara. We have to know what Tosis saw in this situation. And then he asks another kasha b'toch advarim. He says, "And sinim u'pachim can never come ba'onas." He says, "Ato milo meshkachas shenisrefu beiso begada b'me'akor." Minashamayim, they burnt all your clothing in your house, and there's no basement, and there's no sweater, and there's no layer for clothing. So there you have. Kadosh Baruch Hu brought about the person got sick from the cold, and Hashem took away the opportunity that a person had. So you can call that a pashay. I know he's on his gummer. He can't. You know, he took all the precautions he could imagine taking, but then those vehicles, those tools that allow him to take the precautions were taken away from him. So that makes it also bidei shamayim. So then really, why is sinim u'pachim so much different than hakol bidei shamayim? I mean, the same way hakol bidei shamayim, it can happen by onus gamur, and you took all the precautions in the world, it's still going to happen. So sinim u'pachim, Hashem brought about a result that took away your opportunity to take those precautions. So they weren't onus gamur. It's another ha'ara on Tosis. So we have two, three very interesting ha'aras just on this little Tosis. Well, let's consider in a broader scheme of things. So we talk about kobidei shamayim, right? Everything is b'gzeras melech, everything is b'hashgacha. So what does it mean, hakol? How all-encompassing is this, hakol? We're talking about human beings. Hakol bidei shamayim. Everything happens to a human being is bidei shamayim, is hashgacha pratis. What about animals? What about plants? Let's say a leaf falls off of a tree and it falls on one side and not the other. You know, they shemayim that it should fall on that particular side. Is that hashgacha? We're not, because Baruch Hu, yediyah is everywhere, of course, but is it hashgacha in that respect? And animals, one animal attacks the other, one animal attacks a person. So you have to know. Is there a difference? But animals constantly, you know, are at each other's throats based on the time of the Mabul, right? And after the Mabul, that became their nature, to be ferocious and to... Birds are prey. Fish swallow each other. Ish Yisrael chayim b'lo, the fish do that. So all this is b'hashgacha. Hakol b'dei shemayim. So pashtus, the context of the Gemara is hakol b'dei shemayim is, of course, human experiences. Okay. But how does this relate to issues of Bechira? So Rav Chana made an assumption here. If a person acts on their Bechira and harms somebody else, so the person who did who harmed the other person obviously has to pay a price, and there's schar onesh and all that. But it's also true that the victim had to obviously have the nigzar that he had to have that fate. Is that for sure the case? Or are there perhaps indications otherwise? Another important question is, could you say that the bechira of a person in some way overrides what would have otherwise been hashgacha? To the extent that there is a certain system of bechira in the world and teva in the world, so there is a certain mahalach that Kadosh Baruch Hu sets up. Everything Kadosh Baruch Hu is aware of. But in what sense is it direct hashgacha pratis? These are important questions. In general, you know, is it really 100% clear in every indication that every experience that a person has in their personal life literally is bashkacha pratis? There are indications like that. There's a Gemara in Chulin on Daf Zayin on the Beis, famous Gemara. Ein adam nokeif etzbo lemata, person hurts his finger and it's bleeding. Elam kinachrizen alav no mala. Shenema me'ashem etzadi gaver konanu konanu dak yechbats. Person gets a boo boo, it's bashkacha pratis. It's pretty clear from that Gemara. The Arbis showed him, though, that are not 100% in line with his Gemara. There is a chinuch. He said just a mar makomos to be aware of. We're not solving it. We're not sorting everything out. But so there's one sifra chinuch in Kuf Samach Tes, which is Tumas Mitzora. And it gets into the Sherashim of the mitzvah. He says, L'kvar ben afshu seinu, ki hashkachas Hashem Baruch Hu pratis al kol echad echad b'nei adam. Every human being has hashkacha pratis. V'chi einav pekuchos al kol darcheyam, k'mo shekasuv, ki einav al darchei ish v'chotz adav yireh. L'chein uzharnu l'asis lev l'acholi harav l'achshav ki achid garam oso. A person experiences some suffering, it was caused by chet. V'amruch zechonu avracha, ki v'chid lashon hara, yavo b'rov. V'lo nikachenu derech mikra. Person shouldn't see something that happened as mikra. And you go to the Kohen and you do tshuva. He says, "Ulchoyin hasgerin yor hashkachas baruch hu kol darchi ha'adam." Ulfi shadeos rabos bashkachas akela kol bruav. So he says there are all different people with different ideas about hashkachas Hashem. Some say, "Kehashkachas Hashem baruch hu kol aminin befrat." Some people say Hashkachas Hashem is bifrat even on Bali Chaim. And there are those who say ki Hashkachas Hashem al kohen yani ha'olam bein Bali Chaim okshar dvarim. That means shelo yisnoeya dover echad katan ba'olam hazeh rak b'chepso baruch hu b'zei rasam. Ad sheyachshivu ki b'nefol ole echad min ha'ilan. One leaf falls from the tree, hu gazal av sheyipa. Why did that leaf fall at that very instant from the wind? Because it was nigzar that leaf should fall that second from the wind. The efshar she is acher or yigdam zman afilasa afilu regel. That's what some people say. He's not going to accept it in the end, the chinuch. But he brings that. The zedas rochel kabe min aseichel. To argue that much every time the leaf falls at that second, that was meant to fall that second exactly when it fell. That there's no hashgach at all is certainly wrong. And here the Mitzayin on the bottom, the Rambam in Mor Nevuchim, in Chel Gimel Perek Yud Zayin, Nosim hashgachasenu baruch hu kol minei bali chayim bechlal, shekol min min aminen hanivroim ba'olam yiskayim la'olam. Every, even though, you know, the scientists say that there are some species that have become extinct. So he says no min can become extinct. Maybe it's a question of definition. What's called a min? They define a min in a more narrow sense. So they'll say that min became extinct, and the chinuch is defining it in a broader sense. So therefore, if you have a different subspecies, that's considered the min is still here. No min can become extinct. Or maybe, who knows where, there's some place in the world that min still exists, could also be. Ki b'ashkachasu yimatzikim l'chol davar. Uv min ha'adam na'amin ki ashkachasu baruch hu ha'ko echad echad b'frat. V'hu ha'mevin kol maseyim, and so on. Now, it's important, though, to notice something. that Kadosh Baruch Hu is meivin al kol maaseihem, and that a person is accountable, is not the same thing as necessarily saying that in adam nokev etzbo lamatam ken hichriz olav numala. In other words, not necessarily to confuse accountability with saying every single experience, you know, was bigzera. Could be that it was bigzera, but the show is you have to assume mamish every single thing that happened. That's what the Gemara Chula says. Yeah, the chinuch is kind of he's not 100% clear that he means fully that, or he means the sense of accountability. So if you look in the Rambam or in the Vuchim that the Mitzayin on the bottom, from the Rambam it's mashma that the point is that there's hashkacha pratis for human beings in the sense that nothing is lost. Everything a person does, Kadosh Baruch Hu is aware of, and a person is responsible for. That's a davar bar. That's clearly within a munah that a person has to accept. The question is, what about, you know, the Gemara in Chu and Dav Zayin Amud Beis? Is the Rambam saying that far? I'm not so sure. The Rambam seems to be saying it quite that far. The Chinuch is a little bit hard to know for sure whether he's saying it at kedei kach, like the Gemara in Chulin is saying it, or he's speaking more about accountability. He continues. He says, therefore, ki bi'agia lo adam acholi hara, person experiences an illness, tzaras, shalei kachenu derech mikra. Now, that's also true. A person shouldn't take it as derech mikra. Rak yachshov miyad ki avonosov garmu. Now, okay, so this is the chinuch. What about the question of acting towards somebody else to harm somebody else? So Mechana took for sure in that comment of the we saw before that of course the person who was a victim was nigzar, but still you have to pay a price. Is that necessarily a dava muskam? Yeah, Ariel?
I was asking, according to the
Chinuch,
is he saying that anything bad that happened to a person, they should, like, it's
kind of
something they did wrong, and that's
so,
what's happening to them?
He sounds like he's saying that. Certainly, if we're talking about holy ra, like a person shouldn't take it, derech mikra. Again, it can be very tricky. A person can't always know, can almost never know, really, what chait was causing what. But the answer is, we know we're not tzaddikim. So therefore, there's always cheshbonus and hashamayim that are going on. So, could very well be, most likely, that there's some cheshbon here. Certainly, that's certainly within a strong realm of possibility. The question is it also possible? That's what we're really trying to identify. Is it also possible that something happens in the world to somebody to the extent that there is a mahalach of teva in the world? So a Kadosh Baruch Hu puts the situation of teva in the world to play out the way it does. Of course, a Kadosh Baruch Hu is aware, a Kadosh Baruch Hu puts that situation in the world in front of a person. But then the way that the teva plays out in the person's life, is that, so to speak, hashgachas HaKadosh Baruch Hu directly, or is it more within the world of teva? That's where it's not as simple. Maybe before I talk about the case of somebody else, just within this itself, there's a stira in the Ramban on this, and many mepharshim try to figure out a way to miyashiv it. I'm not going to try now to miyashiv, just make you aware of it. Mitzad Echad, the Ramban at the end of Parashas Bo. Very strong language, very specific, how literally everything that a person experiences in the world is bashkacha pratis. That was the lesson of Yitzchias Mitzrayim and so on. And he writes at the end that Ein Adam Chelek the Torah Moshe Rabbeinu at Shenamin Bechol Dvareinu Mekreinu Kshekulam Nisim Ein Behem Tevem Nogi Shalom Bein Bram Bein Biyachid Bein Bram Bein Biyachid. Everything a person experiences is Kadosh Baruch Hu's way of relating to that person. That's the famous Rabbi Parshas Bo. On the other hand, in Parshas Vayera, the pasuk Yedativ Manashe Yitzave, the Ramban writes, Yediyas Hashem Sheyashkachasu Ba'olam Hashafol Hi Lishmur Haklalim V'gam B'nei Adam Munachim Ba'olam Mikrim Avo B'chasidav Yosum Eilav Libo L'das Oso B'frat Leos Shmiraso Deveka Botamid. Sounds like there's a special Shmira, Ashkacha Pratis, if you will, for Hasidim. But for a lot of people, the system is a Kadosh Baruch Hu puts a person within, you could say, the world of Teva, and Mikra and Teva have their own mechanism that do what they do, and the person, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, puts them within the world of Teva. There's a Sfarno, Dinah Parshas Tazviya, also very explicit in the sense that most people, he writes, most Jews even, except for the special, are under the world of Teva. In the Ramban, though, it's striking because it's like a contradiction. The Ramban is not talking about Chassidim in Parshas Bo. He's talking about everybody. Everything that a person experiences is HaKadosh Baruch Hu directly. Again, there are ways to work this out. There are ways to work it out. And it's important also to realize that it could be that there are dargis. Even Teva is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashkacha, but it's Hashkacha within the world of Teva. So there's something of a barrier, so to speak. And then there's a direct Hashkacha, and that's where the Shmira comes in. So it could be, it's not an absolute type of a classification. It's Hashkacha Pratis or not Hashkacha Pratis. There's Hashkacha Pratis of one sort, and you can call it Hashkacha Pratis of another sort within the world of Teva, and that's what some try to work out within the Ramban. It's very hard to know exactly how to be Miyashevit. But again, the Gemara and Chulin is certainly one extreme formulation. Ein Anokim Hitzbo L'mata, Machitzbo L'mala, the Chinuch, the Ramban here, the Ramban there. But then the other issue is when it affects somebody else. So there's an Orach Chaim in Parshas Vayeshev, where it says, Vayishma Ruven Yatzileu Miyada. Ruven saved Yosef from the hands of the brothers. And he says, throw him into the boar. Don't kill him. So I don't have the Lashon of Orach Chaim in front of me, but it's a Zohar as well, I think, in Bereishis. But the Orach Chaim says something to the effect that you're not going to prove anything by killing him yourself. Because it could be he's not Chayiv Misa. Could be he doesn't deserve to die. But your Bechira is going to still allow you to do what would otherwise not have meant to happen to him. So he says, you want to know whether he deserves it or not. Put him in the pit where the snakes are. And if the snakes bite him, then Menashemayim, he has to die. And if the snakes don't bite him, then that he doesn't deserve to die. But if you would kill him, it's not going to prove they deserve to die. Sounds like from the Orach Chaim that it's possible that a person could be a victim of someone else's harming them, and it wasn't necessarily meant to be, except that because Hashem gives people Bechira, it turns out that it can actually go and now do what otherwise would not have been meant. Because Baruch Hu is aware of everything. But it wasn't Bahashkacha in the sense that it was Nigzad that the person had to die. That's what it sounds like from the Orach Chaim. The Ramban in Lech Lecha talks about the Mitzrim being punished for what they did, even though it was Nigzar that Kar Yisrael should be enslaved. The Ramban talks about the sense that the Mitzrim went over the top. First of all, their motives weren't to do what Hashem wanted, and they also went beyond. It sounds like, again, it's possible for the person who carries out what he does to go beyond what would have been Nigzar. It sounds like from the Ramban also on some level the same distinction, but not the same way the Orach Chaim says it in an absolute sense. But in the Ramban, the fact that they went beyond, it wasn't Nigzar. So what does that mean? It wasn't Nigzar, but they went over and above. So the suffering that Kaiso had over and above, the Koshi Hashiv, wasn't Bashkacha. Of course it was, but it wasn't Nigzar in the same way. So again, it leaves open the possibility that there is a certain way that the Bechira can somehow go over and above what would have otherwise been Nigzar. Again, it could be a question of degree. Nigzar could mean one thing, Hashkacha could mean something else. You have to know the different dargas here. So at the end of the day, it's a very messy, type of sugya to try to get a handle on. It's not pashut at all. But leaving it at that, let's see the next tosfos, and then see if we can bring that back also. Yeah, this is just a little bit of a smattering of Mar Mekomos on the Inyan. Again, I think it's also important to keep in mind one more point. In other words, even if a person would take the view that there are things that happen that are not in the same in absolute level of Hashkacha Pratis that we'd try to attribute to the Gemara and Chulin, it doesn't mean it can't be. And it doesn't mean it can't become. And it doesn't mean that there's nothing that is. It just means that I'm not willing to swear by a Sefer Torah that every single experience of aggravation place that I had was b'gzeir b'ashkacha, that I had to have that. It could have been my own doing. It could have been a pshia. It could have been, you know, whatever else. Teva, mikrim. That doesn't mean that there are things in one's life that are b'ashkacha patis. That would be, that's certainly a very different position, which is not, I don't think is correct. There are many things in our own lives that we can say that. And I'll add something else. There are certain things that mistama are definitely b'ashkacha, like the Gemara said, talk about shiduchim. Right, mem yom kol mitzvah sablad. Right, so it says bas ploni go ploni, and kehena v'kehena. Things that the Gemara says are clearly, you know, there's a hachraz about. So I think you have to recognize, even within this frame of reference, that we see maybe, you know, nuances of differences between rishonim. I think there are cases where I think you'll have to certainly accept that there is a shkacha pratis for everybody, and certain types of things, and even for the average Joe. You know, there are things that mistama are hashgacha pratis, and one never knows what is considered to be the hashgacha pratis situation, and what is therefore something that just might have just happened. And therefore, to assume something hashgacha pratis is not a problem. To the contrary, it's probably a good thing, because if it helps a person in the Yiras Shemayim, and maybe adarava, the more that a person looks for hashgacha pratis in their life, the more they'll find it. In other words, if you don't look for it, you're not going to see it. And who knows? There could be many, many things that are really hashgacha pratis. And if you just think to yourself, it just happened. So, you know, on the other hand, you want to make yourself such a tzaddik and say, literally, everything I'm doing is that. Maybe not such a tzaddik, so don't make yourself into what you're not. So, in other words, to know that the range of makoros are here, use the best of them to mechazik yourself, as opposed to use, you know, the worst of them to pull yourself away. In other words, so you have to, you know, take this and understand what I'm trying to say. In other words, it's not an opportunity to say, because there's such a shita, therefore, chas v'shalom, and I don't believe in hashgacha pratis. I think it's important to know that there may be a framework and a range of shitas. In Hasidus, it's very much the Baal Shem Tov and Chabad and others are very into hashgacha pratis in the fullest way, perhaps even with Balei Chayim, even if you experience something and you see something, it's literally everything you see. It's Kadosh Baruch Hu wants you to see what you saw. And adarava, if it works for a person and to accept that, it could very well be the case. Maisa, from some Rishonim, it would certainly seem that it doesn't quite go that far. But it certainly can be, in many cases, for a person that it is hashgacha pratis. Yes? Yeah, that's for Sunday's discussion. Okay, we want your appetite. Okay, it's a very good question. Good question. We'll talk. We have what to say about it, but I want to the next choices too. Yeah. Yeah.
For the Ramban starts off by saying that everything is nisim. I know the Ramban says the Ramban is the source of the idea that everything is constantly being recreated, right? Everything's constantly being recreated. When something comes from nothing.
To something else. Well, I don't know what you're referring to. Which Ramban you're referring to?
Those.
I don't know which Ramban.
So just the Nisim one. But then Ramban turns around and says what he said there's more Shkacha and others and less.
That's
so unless you're going to say that there's like malt. If everything's already a Nais, then what's the point of being Mechalak? This Shkacha, that different Shkacha, higher Shkacha, lower Shkacha. Is that the main problem? I don't know. Is that the main problem with the Ramban that people try and answer?
I mean, the main problem is that the Ramban, in one place seems to say that people are under mikra, and the other place the Ramban says that everything a person experiences is nes. There's another Ramban you can bring in here in Shoftim by Melech. He says, "Som tas melech melech asher yivchar Hashem." So Ramban says that any time there's an appointment of a king, it has to be asher yivchar Hashem with a gzeira that king became king, and any position of authority sounds like only that. And what about other things? I mean, it's not just this is something that Sheyivcha Hashem announced it. Hashem ordained it. I mean, everything Hashem ordained. What makes this special? Again, you see that there may be an issue of dargis. There are certain levels where it's a more direct, either shmira or hachraza or hashkafa, and there are other things which are perhaps working within other types of, you know, intermediate types of forces like Teva. I'm not answering directly all the theories in the Ramban, but it could be that's one way to approach it. Let's see the next tosis. I know I didn't fully answer the question, but
Sunday.
Okay. The Yom Shachar Beis Hamikdash. So here we have another, again, more of the same. The idea being, there's a price that's to be paid. A person did an Aveira worthy of being Chayiv Misa, but the person did not pay the price, b'dinei Ada. The person cannot escape his divine fate. It's not going to come b'dinei Adam, it's going to come b'dinei Shemayim. The Meiri has a lesson here in expressing this idea. He writes, quote, Derech Ha'ara Amru, La'olam yizar Adam in Haveris, ba'al yakel rosh lios batuach basiyasam. Don't feel overconfident, I can do the Averis, I'll escape, I'll get off the hook. Im mitzad she'en shan edim, mitzad she'en beis hamikdash kayam, the kol sanhedrin, the onesh beis din batel, she mikol makom din shamayim bimkomo ome. The din shamayim is still in place. Who ate, who died, who bowed in? Hashem sees it all. The kamadrachim yesh l'makom. There are many ways Hashem will see to it that a person will get what he deserves. Derech ha'ara amru, afu pish avmisus nesersin, said in batel, din shabem ein batel, and so on. But the Lashon is introduced Mishachar Beis HaMikdash. The Imtomar Fektosis. Amayu Nakat Mem Shanim Kodim Shachar Beis HaMikdash. The cutoff seems to be that the Din Dalet Mises is now operative because we have the Churban Beis HaMikdash, so we don't have Dalet Mises. We have now, instead, Din Dalet Mises. But seemingly, Fektosis, we could really go before Churban Beis HaMikdash. Already 40 years Kodim Shachar Beis HaMikdash, the Mem Shel Kodem Churban goes to Sanhedrin, Shelo Daran Din Nefashis. The Gemara says that Sanhedrin that would normally administer Din Nefashis went into exile 40 years prior to the Churban. So they no longer were doing the Mises Beis Din. So already then, you should talk about the Din Dalet Mises. The truth is, Tosis could ask another question. In the other place, elsewhere, Tosis already asks beyond what he asks over here. What else could Tosif have asked? Even Bisman, that Sanhedrin was in place, but there could be a lot of situations where, as the Meiri alludes to, that there wasn't an ability, based on the technicalities of Edom and Asra, to carry out the Mises Beis Din. So already, you could have the situation of Din Dalet Mises being Noheg, Bisman, that there was a Sanhedrin. So Tosif doesn't ask it quite that way. He just asks, okay, Bittul Sanhedrin, but Bittul Sanhedrin for being Dan Din Nefashis preceded the Churban by 40 years. But in other places, we'll see the other Tosis, and eventually, he asks even before that. And for Tosis, V'yeshulamer de l'pa'anim l'tzorech shah hayuchozrin Sanhedrin l'sil sagazis. U'lachi l'psika l'lamisni mem yekshana kodem Churban. In other words, even though they left their makom in the to judge Dinei Nefashos, but they would sometimes occasionally return to try certain cases. And therefore, because they would sometimes come back, so then they would have Dinei Adam being fulfilled. And therefore, Milsa Psika, at this point, there never is any opportunity for Beis Din to function to do Mises Beis Din, and therefore, it was only Din Dalet Mises. The Yom Tomar, Im Kain, if this is true, what I just said, this teretz, that they would sometimes return to Lishkas Hagazis. In other words, you can't have, just to clarify, you can't, the halach of Din Nefashis doesn't need Sanhedrin Gedola. Who carries out Mises Beis Din? What Beis Din? Of how much? Of Chav Gimel. So what does Tos mean Lishkas Hagazis? What's the Pshat in Tosis? How did you learn it? The answer is, that they want to know, that in order for Sanhedrin Ketana to be done Din Nefashis, you had to have the Sanhedrin Gedola Bimkomo in Lishkas Hagazis. If the Sanhedrin of Ayin Aleph was in Lishkas Hagazis, then the Sanhedrin Ketana can be done Din Nefashis. And therefore, if the Sanhedrin Gedola would sometimes come back, so then during that period, you can have Sanhedrin Ketana being done Din Nefashis. That's L'chor the Pshat in the Tosis. And why did they went into Golos? And sometimes they came back. The Imtomar Imkain my parak perikol yubotkin. If it's true that they sometimes came back, what's the Gemara's kasha in Sanhedrin? Gavim my selba of Yochanan ben Zakkai buksei kainim. Yochanan ben Zakkai was making certain bedikos regarding a case of murder, and it was under a certain fig tree. And he was asking the Eidim very hard questions regarding how wide the stem of the figs were in the fig tree above the, where the murder took place, which is very, very hard for Eidim to recall and to be able to answer correctly, which would be a way to get the person obviously off the hook by not the Eidim contradict themselves. So he was made bedikas of such a sort. Uparich, the Gemara has a side question there. Mi havi b'Sanhedrin? Was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai actually a member of the Sanhedrin that he would be asking these questions of dinim nefashis? But Tanya, Kosh Nosav Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai Me'ar ve'esim Shana. He lived 120 years. And how does it break down? The 120 years, Mem Osek Be'Batya. First 40 years, he was Osek in business. Mem Lomad. And then, it could be Akiva, right? But except that he was a Talmud Chacham already before. Akiva, Mamis started from nothing, right? Mem Limed, Mem Lamad. Next 40 years of his life, he learned Torah exclusively. Umem Limed. And the last 40 years is when he was teaching others. Presumably when he was a dying in the Sanhedrin, it would have to be in which Kufa?
The last one.
Now, Vitanya, we have a Braisa, Mem Shana Kodm Chorben Gosa Sanhedrin. Wait a second. So if the Sanhedrin was Gola 40 years before the Churban, and Rav Yochanan Zakkai, we all know, the missing link in the Kashi is Yochanan was alive at the time of the Churban. That means he had to be living at, you know, even the shortest amount of time after the Churban, how long afterwards he died, whatever. But 40 years before the Churban, the Sanhedrin was no longer functioning. Yochanan Zakkai lived, let's say, 5 years after the Churban, no? So that means 40 years prior to the end of his life was already after, 5 years after the Sanhedrin had gone into Golus, right? Sanhedrin went to Golus 40 years before the Churban. Yochanan ben Zakkai was a dying on the Sanhedrin during the last 40 years of his life. And he lived through the Churban. So that means that something doesn't coincide. In other words, that means that those last 40 years of his life would have been seemingly subsequent to what? To the exile of the Sanhedrin. So how can he be in the Sanhedrin? That's the Gemara's Kasha. Fectosis, what's the Gemara's Kasha? According to what I just told you. The Hashta, according to the answer I just gave to resolve the earlier question, that why it says here, Miyom Shechar Beis HaMikdash, because before that, Sanhedrin would sometimes return to its place. The Hashta, my Kasha lay, came into Lepam, Mayu Chosin V'Danim. So the story could have very well happened after the Golus of the Sanhedrin, at a period when the Sanhedrin would come back and be done whatever their cases were. So what's the Gemara's Kasha, according to what I'm suggesting, that the Sanhedrin would sometimes come back? The issue, Omar, is Octosus, Yochanan Zakkai, the Badak Bukseteena, a Maisa de Ritzicha Haya. The story was a Maisa Ritzicha. Umishum Dinin Nefashas de Ritzicha, Lahayu Chosrim La'olam. Even if they would sometimes come back for whatever types of cases, one type of case they certainly would never come back for, namely Ritzicha. Why not? The Ikram Lo Golu Ela Mishum Ritzicha. The entire reason that the Sanhedrin went 40 years before the Churban into Golus was because of Ritzicha. The Chazu the Nefishi Rotschem Kedaminim Perkam Demsechus Avodah Zarah. They saw that there was a proliferation of murderers, and because of that, they did not want to have to deal with the many cases of Din Nefashis that would arise, and therefore they went into Golus. And if they're in Golus, there'll be no Din Nefashos that will be able to be judged. So to go back for Din Nefashos, they would never have gone back to judge Din Nefashos. Now, it's strange. Why wouldn't they want to try these Rotschen? If there's more murderers, you want to try more murderers, right?
They didn't have I thought they didn't have the power anymore.
No, why not? He says that they didn't want to have to, because the fishy Rotschen, they didn't want to have to deal with it. Could be they wanted the Rotschen to get. Maybe they'd get, if they had to try the case, then they'd have maybe technicalities in halacha that they would be off the hook. They'd rather that the Malchus Romi would try them and then give them give them whatever secular judgment would be. Maybe that's the pshat. Yeah.
Didn't they always try to get someone off?
So that's why there was somebody wrote to them. They did, if there's a rotsiach here and there, so good. So try him and try all you could to be Mahapech Bishuso and let him be off the hook. If you have all these murderers getting off the hook, it's better that they shouldn't be off the hook. And if we have to try the case, we'll probably find ways, technicalities, that they should be innocent. Better they shouldn't be tried by us, let them be tried by the Romans, right? I mean that's the pshat. But either way, they wouldn't go back for Ritzicha. So Yochanan Zakkai, certainly that's the Gemara's Kasha. So how can he be trying Dini Ritzicha? Yeah.
So when the Mefarshim said that,
there were so many murderers that if they would kill them all, they would be going against the Mishnah Mako that said that a court shouldn't kill more than once in 7 years.
That's a good pshat. The Yesh Mefarshim, another answer. So this is one answer to the original kasha. Why does it say Miyom Shachar Beis Hamikdash? The Yesh Mefarshim, so the answer would be that Sanhedrin would sometimes come back, so it's not a Mosa Psika, it's not clear cut that there would be only Din Dalet Mises. There would sometimes be Dalet Mises. Even though it's strange, if they didn't try Ritzicha, they wouldn't go back for Ritzicha. So why is it a Milsa Psika? I mean, it comes out that they would that Ritzicha would never be. So Chorokhor, what Tosis says now, I'm just wondering aloud. So how did Tosis answer the original question?
Other than the fascists,
of course. So therefore, there could be Dalet Mises of other than the fascists. Yeah, good. Okay, Vayter v'yesh mefarshim, the lahachi naka mishachar beis hamikdash, mishum dekodim lachein, prior to the Churban, afo pishet galu, even though Sanhedrin went to Galus, hayu bigde kohuna mechaprim al meze de lo astri bei. Bigde kohuna, each one of them is mechaper in different averis, and there's the ksones that's mechaper for what? Who knows? Ksones for shvichas damim. And therefore, if you have a situation, let's say, what would be the case of Kodem HaChorban that someone would have to be get Din Dalet Mises? So it would be a case where the Beis Din, they murdered without Hasra. So Beis Din Kohuna would always be Mechaper for that. They wouldn't be Mechaper for cases where the person is subject to a real Mises Beis Din. But any other types of situations would be covered by the Beis Din Kohuna. Kedamim Perek Yesh Be'erchim. So therefore, it wouldn't be nogea din dalet mises during the time of the mikdash, because if you have the mikdash, you have the ksonis of the kohen gadol, and therefore you have the kapara for shvichas for not just for shvichas damim, actually anyone, I mean whatever the averis, actually meizid de lo astru be, yeah, so whatever situation, it wouldn't just be shvichas damim, it would be what whatever avera would be have a kapara through the big day kohuna. During his period of time, it was the Mikdash was standing, and there was a Din Arba Misos, and there was a Din Arba Misos. You mean the Perkech Din Mamnis? Amr B'Shem Ben Shatach, Erbin Chama, Teshvua, he said. And it was in every way, it was clear that there was a Ritzicha, but no one saw it. He had a knife, and it was bloody, and the person was dead, and obviously, who did it? Who done it? Obviously, it was done by the person who ran after him. And right away he got his what he deserved. In fact, the Gemara, why he deserved that? He was a Ritzeach. What should a Ritzeach get with Din Dalet Mises? She'd be given to the Malchus. So Upar Chai Bar Nachashu. We'll see more about the next Tosus. But Tani Rav Chiya, he should debat with Sanhedrin. No. So what do you see in the Gemara in Sanhedrin Amizayin that Din Dalet Mises was no way bisman ha? So this teretz doesn't work. The Od Omar, another raya that this teretz doesn't work. The Gemara in Makkah says that you have a situation where you have two people, one killed Bishogi, one killed Bemezid. Neither has Edim. So Kadosh Baruch Hu orchestrates based on that there's a repeat performance, so to speak, and the one that killed Bemezid is now killed by somebody who had previously killed Bishogi, and this time there are Edim. So he falls on him. So what happens now? The one that got killed the second time around was the one who deserved to get killed from his original Ritzicha. The one who killed Bishogi without Aiden now killed again Bishogi with Aiden. So what do you see from this? V'hasam b'zman shebeis ha-migdash kaya ma'iri k'idem idkam av nimtza zem ma'is v'zeh gola. So what is Tosus assuming in this sentence? That to have the ownership of Golgos, there has to be a interesting assumption. There has to be a migdash. So he says, so if there's Golos, it had to be Bizman HaMikdash. So what do you see? And that's a way of carrying out Din Dalet Mises, that the person that got killed from the other person who now killed a second time Bishogeg, so he was now killed because of his original Ritzicha. And this is Bizman HaMikdash. So you see that the Kapara of the Bigdei Kohuna didn't take care of it. You see, he needed to have his Din Dalet Mises be carried out against him. Okay, let me take a few minutes and shift gears with you, Chaver. Right? Everyone, take a sheet. Yeah. passed it around yet. Yeah.